It is a Thursday morning, the 12th of the June month. Very good morning to you. And it's also a cold morning. And good morning to you, wherever you find yourself in this beautiful land of the brave. So good morning. How are you this morning? How are you coping with the weather in your area? Is it, and today it's quite pretty good. It's cold, but it's quite pretty good. I hope. I just think that maybe areas like they said, the interior will be cold. Also in the south will be cold. So I hope you guys are okay. And a very good morning to you. Make sure that you are warm enough, and if you're on the road, please make sure that you drive carefully and you obey all the traffic rule that you need to obey. So good morning and welcome to your 24 hours talk radio station. This is Eagle FM and you are tuned into Unpacking the Day. My name is Mike Oshoveli and this is the show where we dive deep into the stories, events and issues that shape our world. So this show is all about breaking down the headlines and exploring the context behind the news and understanding how it impacts our lives. So whether it is the latest development in politics, business, culture or social issues, we are here to make sense of it all together. So, but it's not just about us talking. It's about you. So share your thoughts, opinion and perspective on the topics that matter most to you. This is your space to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. And a very good morning to you. The 12th of June, 2025. So what happened on this day in Africa? So let's get into our segment of what happened on this day in Africa. And June the 12th is celebrated as the Democratic Day in Nigeria. This commemorates the 1993 presidential election, widely regarded as the freest and the fairest, if there's a word like that, in Nigeria's history. So the election was won by Chief Moshood Kashimawo or Olawale Abiola, popularly known as MKO Abiola. So a businessman, a politician from the Yoruba ethnic group in the southwest of Nigeria. So, however, the military government annulled the outcome of the election, igniting now nationwide outrage and protest and violence. So the event has since been commemorated as a democracy day, officially declared on 12 June, beginning in 2019. Now, on the very same day, on the 12th of June, this date, the apartheid government enacted the Terrorism Act of 1967. So granting the apartheid government powers to detain and suppress political dissidents. So this law became one of the regime's most oppressive tools used against activists who opposed apartheid. June the 12th has also been a day of activism and resistance. So in South Africa, June 12th is remembered for the June 12th movement, a historic moment in the struggle against apartheid involving black students and communities pushing for equality and justice. June 12th also marks the World Day Against Child Labor, a global observance with strong resonance in Africa where child labor remain a critical challenge. So this day raises awareness about the exploitation of children in work that deprives them of education and a safe childhood. So today we commemorate the World Day Against Child Labor. So yeah, that's what we have for you in this segment of On This Day in Africa. So Thursday, June the 12th, the thought for the day today is the one who lies for you will also lie against you. The one who lies for you will also lie against you. So the proverb means that someone who is willing to deceive on your behalf is fundamentally untrustworthy and may eventually deceive you as well. So a person who lies, even it seems to benefit you, lacks integrity. Their dishonesty is part of their character, not one-time favor. So in relationship or business or politics, this proverb advises against associating with dishonest people, even if their action seem to benefit you in the short term. So their lack of integrity could actually lead to betrayal when it serves their purpose. So our thought for the day, the one who lies for you will also lie against you. So hopefully that help or that guide your decision and choices that you make today. Very good morning to you. If you just joining us, you're welcome. Welcome to Eagle FM and thanks for joining us. And we are, it's our pleasure really being in your company this morning. Stay tuned, stay connected with Eagle FM anytime, anywhere, with just, you know, with just your phone, you can easily access news, your favorite shows, and so much more. I mean, the other thing I saw that if you there's also constitutions, eh? Maybe in a constitution, if you can also find it there. There are a couple of stuff that you can find interesting, very informative. So simply download the Eagle FM mobile app, from Google Play or the App Store and you are all set, to go. And if you want to stay informed on business, economics, and policy updates, get your digital copy of The Villager every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So just send your name and email via WhatsApp to 081-241-44, 081-241-44. And, well, grow your business as well, effortlessly. With Eagle FM, our apps, Imba and the Eagle FM app, make it simple to promote your product and your service to a wider audience. So don't forget to leverage our highly active social media platforms to boost your brand's visibility. So ready to get started? So contact us today at 083-288 400s. 083-288-400. Well, stay informed, stay connected, you know, stay ahead with Eagle FM and our extended media facilities. So, welcome. And when we come back, we get into our first story of the day. Stay tuned.
Back your preconceptions of technology. Explore the apps that are redefining the future. Out with the old and in with the new. From carrying physical hard copy hymn books to the world of digital hymn book versions. See the bold new expressions of the Imba app. Feel like you're part of something bigger. Experience the digital hymn book in the palm of your hands. Behold, the new and improved Imba that brings together various hymn books under one app. Here to unite a nation and spread the gospel. Some of the featured hymn books on Imba app are the Elsi Nehangano, Rio Sherero o Maimburiro, the Catholic Simane Kakarunga, the Afrikaans Sing Voor Diere, and many more. Contact us today if you'd like for your church hymn book to be added onto the list of Imba hymn books. 081-238-0683. You can also email us at digital@omalaiti.com. Download and discover Imba today. You can find it on the App Store as well as the Google Play Store.
My friend, Why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back and a very good morning to you if you're just joining us. A good morning to you in this very, 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 very cold, cold weather. As I said, I love this weather. When it's cold, I can do quite a lot of things. I'm really not a summer person, so this is my kind of weather, really. So, very good morning to you. I hope you're coping. I hope you're warm enough, and we're trying to warm you up here on Eagle FM with the news and update of what is going around around the world, around the Namibia, around, you know. So, let's see if we can get you warmed up. So, today we're going to look at, in our first segment, in this segment we're going to look at, there's a powerful and provocative discussion sparked by none other than Mo Ibrahim. Mo Ibrahim, the Sudanese billionaire and the founder of the Mo Ibrahim Foundation. Now, his recent remark at the 2025 Ibrahim Governance Weekend in Marrakech, Morocco. I don't know whether it's how it's pronounced, Marrakech, Morocco, have shaken the foundation on how we think about African unity. So how we think about African unity, the African sovereignty, and also our financial independence as African, as African state. Now, for those who are tuning in, for the first time, the Ibrahim Governance Weekend is an annual gathering of African leaders, civil societies, business minds, people, and academics, all focus on tackling, you know, all focus about tackling Africa's governance challenges. So that's what the Ibrahim Governance Weekend it's all about. So this year, the spotlight was on banning issues. Really, the spot was on the banning issues. What is the banning issue? What is the topic? What is the banning issue topic in Africa? It's Africa's, I would call this Africa's chronic. Okay, let me use the word chronic. Africa's chronic dependence on foreign funding. And especially the African Union reliance on European donors for 70% of its 650 million budget. Can you believe that? Whoever actually pays you is your boss. So imagine now the 70% of the African Union, of the African, the AU, 70% of its budget come from European donors. Ah, my good Lord. So now let's break down the critical issues Mo Ibrahim raised and why they matter deeply to both to Namibia and also to the continent at large. Let's look at some of these critical issues that he highlighted and see how that resonates with Namibia and with the continent at large. So the very first issue that he raised is the problem of dependency, masquerading as partnership. Okay? So the more Abraham called out the euphemism of development partnership or development partners. So as a smokescreen masking Africa's over-reliance on external aid. Now, the African Union, which should be the political and the economic backbone of the continent's unity, ironically depends heavily on foreign donors. 70% of its budget, 70% of its budget actually come from European and the Americans and Chinese. So we, as I said, this is now your political and economic backbone of the continent, the continent's unity. So, and we said, ironically depends heavily on foreign donors, Americans and Chinese. So those are the one that keeps, you know, the union, the AU, keeps its operation running. So what keeps our operations, our Africans Union operation running are the European, are the Americans and the Chinese. And as I said earlier, and whoever pays your salary, so whoever actually pays you, you know, runs you. So it's your boss made the decision. So now this financial reliance, so now what he was talking about is that now this financial reliance compromises the AU autonomy and legitimacy. That was what we were talking about. It compromises the AU autonomy and legitimacy, raising now the fundamental question. How can Africa truly claim sovereignty? How do you claim sovereignty when its top institution, the AU, when its top institution is financially beholden to outside powers? So you can't. Whoever pays you runs you, you know. So that's the fundamental question he's asking. How can Africa truly claim that you are independent? So this is now the top institution in Africa. So when your top institution is financially beholden to outside power. So, well, for Namibia, I mean, this resonates, it does resonate strongly. Our national development and take for example, media sectors. You know, there was that American word, what they were doing with the Namibian, and there was another paper. So we normally face similar challenges. You know, for example, Namibia's media landscape struggles with financial sustainability and, you know, amid digital disruption and economic pressures. So often relying on external funding and government advertisings, which can threaten media independence and pluralism. So now, when you look at the AU, let me quickly offside there. So the AU situation reflects a bigger problem that many African countries actually face. So the problem is how to accept help for things like roads, healthcare, or running your government, especially in Africa now, running their governments without losing that control. So too often this help comes with conditions. So the help that normally we get, most of the African countries that get, we hear these, you know, donated these, you know, China help this, or European Union help this country in terms of, so those helps comes with condition that weakens independence. So the shift, they weaken the independence of the country. It shift focus away from the local needs and create ongoing reliance on others. So, and this is what now the Mo Ibrahim actually is talking about. So whether it is parliaments built by China, like in our case, or climate project funded by the EU, Africa is constantly trying to find a balance, using global partnership to grow while still actually staying in charge of its own future. So that balance becomes a bit of a problem for many African countries. So this is what Mo Ibrahim is talking about, that that we need to look at seriously. The other thing, Ibrahim's critic goes beyond the number to more mindset. I was talking about more mindset. This is talking about the psychological trap of complacency and outsourcing. So where he wants that African nations have become complacent, outsourcing critical function like peacekeeping, developing priorities, and governance to external actors. So this psychological dependence breed a dangerous assumptions. So that assumption is that, look, that help must come from abroad, So, and in the process, that stands homegrown solution and accountability. We become more reliable. That's why it's a dangerous assumption, which also referred to as a psychological trap, where now we have this dependence has breed a dangerous assumption that help must come from outside, from abroad, which also then limit, homegrown solutions and accountability. So it has become a disease. Yeah? And in Namibia, it become a tendency that we're always looking at, we look out, we don't look within, we look outside. Yeah? Who gonna help us? All the problems that we face, instead of actually looking at homegrown solution and accountability and be account for our troubles. So it has become a tendency or a dangerous assumption, as Mo Ibrahim put it. So, and in Namibia, we see this in how some sector actually look outward for solution instead of harnessing a local capacity. So, whether now in governance or health or education, the temptation is to rely on foreign aid or expertise. So, and that can delay, and which is just echoing the Mo Ibrahim sentiment, and that can delay building strong and self-sufficient system. So the other area also talked about, which is actually shameful when you think about it, the AU headquarters. When you think of the AU headquarters in Addis Ababa, built by China as a $200 million gift, a gift, which symbolizes this dependency paradox. Now, while it is a grand gesture by the Chinese, it reportedly compromises security with alleged surveillance by Chinese servers. So when they built this headquarters, it was compromised. They actually left, the Chinese actually also planted in their own servers, to actually, monitor and surveillance, you know, compromise the security of the African Union. So now, and this raises a critical. This is where now. This raises a critical sovereignty a question. Can Africa's institution be truly independent if they rely on foreign powers for their very infrastructure? So this is more likely to happen because you rely more on foreigners, rely on foreigners for even for your own very, very infrastructure. You don't know what they put in those infrastructure, you know? Yeah. So Namibia, as part of the AU, shares in this dilemma. So it's a reminder that accepting gift or aid without strategic foresight can come with hidden cost, affecting really our collective autonomy as a continent. So we'll be back.
Need lightning fast internet? Paratus has you covered. The network Namibia relies on. Whether for business or pleasure, Paratus' cutting-edge technology ensures both reliable and speedy internet connectivity. We exist to serve your needs through our high-quality network and pride ourselves in offering client service excellence. Connect to Paratus today. Visit us online at paratus.africa/Namibia or call us on 083-300-1000.
Welcome back. Yes, so we continue looking at the remark. We continue looking at the remark that were made by Mo Ibrahim on the annual weekend. That's referred to the annual or this time 2025 Ibrahim Governance Weekend in Marrakech. In Morocco, where he really highlighting a number of issues. One of the most, you know, looking at is the Africa's chronic dependence on foreign funding. And one thing that we have highlighted earlier, and as we're going through issue by issues that or critical issues that he highlighted, one of the critical one is that the African Union rely on European donors for its 70% of its budget, which is $650 million budget US dollar. It's actually from the European Union. So and the question is that, so our, you know, the African Union, which should be the political and the economic, you know, backbone of the continent's unity, ironically depend heavily on foreign donors, on Europeans, on the Americans and the Chinese, actually to keep itself operating, to keep itself running. So the question is, as I said, how can Africa truly claim, how do we then claim sovereignty when your top institution is financially funded by outside powers? So those are some of the remarks that he has made, really throwing punches to why Africans don't fund themselves rather than depending on foreigners. And whoever funds you actually, you know, make decisions. Whoever funds you is your boss. So, yeah. And talking even about the 200 million gift, you know, the headquarters in the AU, headquarters in Addis Ababa, it's a gift by the Chinese to Africa, I mean to the Africa, to AU, which reportedly actually compromised the security with alleged surveillance by the Chinese servers. So, as you can see, and that actually raises the whole question of sovereignty. So, can African institution be truly independent if they rely on foreign power for their infrastructures, for example? Yeah. So, and he also then highlighted some several reasons why the African state don't fully fund the AU, why they don't fund the AU themselves. So Ibrahim highlights several reasons that we're going to look at some of them. So one is that many governments, you know, jungles, pressing issues. They really struggle. How do you say to jungle? Yeah. Balancing pressing issues like economic instability. Actually, in their own country, they jungles, you know, pressing issues like economic instability, security threat in some countries, health and education crisis. So it is political difficult to spend some of this scarce money or scarce resources on a union, when your country are hungry or insecure, when your constituents are hungry and insecure. So that's one of the reasons that he has given. It's because it's very difficult to fund the AU because of some of those is domestic versus continental priorities. Which one do you fund? So the other thing is also then the weak physical capacity. The number of countries simply lack strong tax system or diverse economies. So their revenues barely cover national programs. They barely cover national programs. So let alone now the Pan-African ambition. So that's also one of the reasons why African state don't fully fund the African Union. And the other thing is also some member states view the AU as really bloated. They view that as bloated or it's ineffective. It's not really effective. And they ask, probably they think, why pay more to a body seen as slow and bureaucratic when those funds could actually buy a roads or clinic at home in your own country. So those are some of the reasons how he has given why, you know, the African state don't fund their own institutions. And also then the sovereignty questions, where giving money to a multinational institution can feel like surrendering control. There are some of those feel that this is actually surrendering control. Leaders worry an empowered AU, so they worry that an empowered AU might one day constrain their domestic decisions. So those are some of the worries as well that they have. And also the culture of external mediations. So since independence, many African countries habitually tend to the UN, to the World Bank, and Western power for arbitrations. So, and funding. So, and this set a precedence that foreign help is the default. So, and that actually weaken incentive purely African solutions. That really weaken that. So those are some of the reasons. And we now, he talks about that we have to find a way to deal with those, to be able then to really talk about, a sovereignty, African sovereignty or state sovereignty in Africa. So, well, Namibia's own, physical challenges, and political landscape reflect these realities. I think the things that has been mentioned, by Mo Ibrahim, as we reflect those realities. So our government, like many others, jungles pressing domestic issues, you know, economic stability, healthcare, security, you know, food security. So, which often take precedence. These are take, normally they take precedence over continental commitments. Even Namibia really try. So these issues, you know, take precedence over any other commitment on a continent level. So, yeah, and this raises a critical question. This raises a critical question: how can we strengthen Pan-Africanism if we do not invest in it? If we don't invest in it, how do we strengthen that Pan-Africanism? So, yeah. So he also talked about the role of Africans, private sectors and wealthy elite in Africa. So the wealthy, the billionaires, the millionaires. And so Mo Ibrahim calls on the African private sectors and wealthy individuals to step up. So he asked the African millionaires and billionaires to really step up. So Africa has over 135 millionaires. That's in US dollars. Okay. 135 millionaires and more than 50 billionaires. So who could actually create an endowment funds or finance infrastructure, so that it reduced that dependence on foreign aid? So we have the people, we have individual with muscles in Africa, 135 millionaires, you know, and more than 50 billionaires. So we have, people in Africa who can be able to fund, projects and support the African continent commitment and priorities. So we have an example of Zimbabwe's Steve Masiyiwa and Nigerian Tony Elumelu showed how private capital can actually drive education, healthcare, entrepreneurship across Africa. So, and for Namibia, this is a call to action for our own businesses, leaders, our own business leaders, philanthropists, to invest in national and continental projects. So mobilizing domestic resources is, as I think he said, is the key, to breaking this cycle of dependence. So now Mo Ibrahim's message is very, 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 very clear. Africa want respect on a global stage. If we want respect on a global stage, it actually must start. We must first respect itself. We must respect ourselves first, by funding our institutions and also, setting our own agenda. So free from, influences of foreign powers, with hidden motives, in many cases, with hidden motives. So this means, re-emerging, you know, Pan-Africanism, not as an abstract ideal, but as a practical, well-resourced, you know, political project. So, Yeah, for Namibia, this is a challenge. I think it's a challenge, but also an opportunity. Okay, so we must balance national interest with continental solidarity, strengthen our fiscal system, you know, and support institutions like the AU to become financially dependent, independent, and effective. So, my dear listeners, so the more Ibrahim candid critic is a wake up call. It's a wake up call. It forces us to confront uncomfortable truth about sovereignty, about dependency, about the future of African unity. So, and for Namibia and Africa, the path forward lies in building internal capacity, you know, harnessing that private wealth and committing politically and financially to our shared destiny. So as we reflect on this issue, we can foster, as Mo Ibrahim said, foster a mindset of ownership and responsibility rather than of reliance. So and the answers. So now the question is, yeah, as we listen and also reflect on this on these issues, so how can we foster a mindset of ownership and responsibility rather than actually reliance? So the answer will shape the Africa we want, and one that stands tall, you know, and self-reliant and united. So, all right. So what do you think? What is your reaction? What do you think about Mo Ibrahim remarks and some of the critical issues that he highlighted about African states and our capability or inaction, our capability or incapable of funding our own institutions and also running our own as he said, you know, if we want respect, so if we want respect on the global stage, so we must first respect ourselves by funding our own institution and also setting our own agenda. So whoever pays you for your agenda, run your agenda. So what is your take? So you may come through and have your reaction or contribution to this. Our telephone number is 08333-66091. 08333-66091. So you're most welcome to come through and have your say, have your opinion, have your perspective, and your contribution on our first item on the program, on the show.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna I matina omjo. Chikao shafa sana na longeshifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongotisa mwene. Anageshifa ya Namibia ombito ombwa na wa oronjika. Seitha nina omayaguro nirandithoma yoe yongeshifa yoe okupitira mo Ikele FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tu imemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwa shifareki uimwepo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma konorahi tatu imwe. Datundatu heari hamano tano oniyaji. Ikele FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. Mm. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. And if you're just joining us, you are tuning to Unpacking the Day. My name is Mike Oshavedi, and our time is about 19 minutes past the hour of 8. And we have been looking at our first item on the program was looking at the remark of Mo Ibrahim, the Sudanese billionaire and founder of the Mo Ibrahim Foundation. He made some remark at the 2025 Ibrahim Governance Weekend in Morocco, where he really, heavy punches on Africa's chronic dependence on foreign funding. Highlighting a couple of very important critical issues in terms of how Africa, for example, the first thing, the institution that is supposed to be, the backbone of Africans' unity actually depend on European donors and Americans and the Chinese. 70% of its budget of 650 million come from 70%. Only 30% comes from Africa. So 70%. So that raises the questions. So that raises the questions about our sovereignty and also heavy reliance on foreign aid. Okay. And foreign donors. And we normally, as I said, we masquerade that with development partners, rather than actually say as it is. These are aid that we get, external aid that we get from these countries. Yeah. So, all right. So what is your take? So this financial reliance compromises the AU autonomy and also legitimacy, raising that fundamental question. So how can Africa truly claim sovereignty when its top institution, for example, AU, is financially dependent on outside powers. So our telephone number is 08333-66091. 08333-66091. So you are welcome to come through and have your comment, have your perspective, have your contribution and opinion on our first item on the show. So our time, 22 minutes past 8. We go until the hour of 9:30 on Unpacking the Day. So, what is your take? Please do come through and have your say and have your comment. So, 08333-66091.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Very good morning to you, wherever you are in Namibia and wherever you are in this cold, 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 cold weather. I hope you're warm enough, and people in the south, I think you'll want as well to make sure that you also take care of the animal, because it's extremely, extremely cold. Make sure that you also do something for your livestock. All right, so welcome, and as I was saying, we just covered our first item on the show. Really just focusing on the remark made by Ibrahim on how Africa is really much dependent on outside power to run even its own institutions. This is something that he's actually looking at. What are the critical issues that Africa is facing when it comes to that? So, all right. And if you want to come through and have your contribution on that, 081-0833-66091 is the number to dial, to be able to get to me, and I can put you on air. All right. So, yeah. The other things that I'd really want to go through as well is that, and you can come any time. You can come through any time, but also you're most welcome to give your opinion on some of the, we may have covered this earlier, in early morning scoop. If there's anything that we cover in early morning scoop that you also want to give your opinion or to react to, you're most welcome. You can come through and give your comment and your perspective or your opinion on the matters that we have covered since the early morning scoop. You can come through and have your say on some of those things as well. So yeah. Today, the other thing that I want us to look at, is yesterday, the Commonwealth Secretariat announced that, the Commonwealth trade ministers and business leaders will meet in Windhoek. They will meet in Windhoek next week. I think it's next week, in Namibia. From the 18th to the 20th of June 2025, from the 18th to the 20th of June, 20 June 2025, well, to tackle global trade headwinds, you know. So now, this is the first time. Remember, this is the first time the top Commonwealth Business Summit, the flagship Commonwealth Business Summit, the CBS, and the Trade Ministers Meeting, the CTMM, are held actually on African soil. This is the first time, you know, it's being held on African continent. Organizers say the gathering, co-hosted by Namibia and the Commonwealth Secretariat, will bring together governments, government ministers, CEOs and investors and innovators from all 56 Commonwealth countries. So, and if you put all this country together, so their population, you know, it's about 2.7 billion people. So it's a quite, you know, a significant group. And they will come to Windhoek. You know, these 56 Commonwealth countries will come, will come to Windhoek to talk trade and talking trade resilience and also inclusivity. That's part of the whole agenda. So we're going to look at some of the issues that are on the agenda, according to the press release, you know, from the Commonwealth Secretariat. We're going to look at some of those and also look at how do we benefit from as a country on as a continent as well? How do we benefit, from some of the topic on the agenda? So the Namibian Foreign Ministers, Selma Ashipala, Musayi notes that Namibia, because of our location, because of our rich culture and commitment to partnership, make us an ideal host to foster intra-Commonwealth trade dialogue and innovative solutions. So, in short, the world's eyes, the eyes of the world are now on Namibia. Next week, they are on Namibia as we spearhead this push for resetting trade relationship and resetting trade relationship for more resilient and inclusive future. So, and we will have our eyes on that as it starts, when it starts next week. So, and bring you some of the things, that are coming out of that, of that summit. So now, as I said, there are topics that, will be covered and, or there are, according to the press release, there are also, some concern or issues that has been raised, through the press release and let's unpack what is driving this summit. So one of that is the global trade today. The global trade today faces rising turbulences, like when you're in the plane, you know, that turbulences that happens. So yeah, it's we're facing the global is today is facing that those turbulences. So we have seen, you know, big tariff, we have seen the big tariff from the US, hit imports and export. So the headline grabbing US and China, trade wars, you know, we have seen supply chain disruptions, shifting also allies and the shift of economic allies, you know, becoming. So we see that these are the things that actually, as they said, we see a global trade today facing this, you know, this, these tensions, trade tension and fragmentation, you know, so this is, it's the global trade is becoming more fragmented. So, and the UN Conference on Trade and Development, report that while the world trade reached a record of $33 trillion in 2024, a new risk emerged. There are new risks that are emerging. Trade imbalances, policy shift, and we have seen that. Policy shift and geopolitical tension are on the rise. These are all the things that are on the rise. For example, some countries have slapped in our face higher tariff or quotas on key imports. And others are sorting into blocks, you know, like US friendly friends or China friendly partnership. So there are those sorting, there are those block now, those some that are sorting into blocks. So, and economists even worry about now, they even worry about trade fragmentations. So, and the UN Conference on Trade and Development warned that a key 2025 challenge is to prevent global fragmentations. You know, where nations and where nation actually forms isolated trade bloc, and simply put, if countries only trade within tight alliances, so global growth actually could suffer, and that's what the economists are worried about, trade fragmentation. So at the summit, so this coming summit, at the Windhoek summit, Commonwealth leaders, so they will then emphasize the bloc's strengthening, you know, the bloc's strength in staying multilateral. So they're looking at now the Commonwealth, as a bloc to strengthen their unit. So the new Commonwealth Secretary, General, Shelley, Ayoko Boshoi, points out that in this uncertain era, the Commonwealth offers, quote, trusted partnership, you know, shared commitment to fairness, and a 21% trade cost advantage, unquote. So for its members. So in a nutshell, the secretary says that these 56 countries speak the same business language and have low barriers among themselves. So by striking together, by sticking together, they believe they can resist the protectionism, you know, the protectionism agenda or the protectionism elsewhere. So, yeah, so that's something that is on the agenda, just to help you understand already what would be the focus of some of the discussion. There's the host country, Namibia, for one, is deeply aware of the global shift. So Namibia's economy depends heavily on selling minerals. It's our economy depending solely on selling minerals, heavily, not solely, on selling minerals like diamonds and uranium, you know, to global markets. So we are, as a country, we are vulnerable to demand swings, you know. So if you look at last year, the growth slowed to about 3.7%, partly because of the global diamond demand weakened, and a drought hurt agriculture. So a drought in the country really hurt agriculture. So as I said, we are vulnerable to demand swings, to demand change on the global level. So the debt levels and the exchange rate swings also appeared. And so Namibia has a big stake in avoiding a fragmented trade world. So that's very important. We have a big stake in avoiding, you know, this fragmented trade world. So if powerful economies divert trade flows away from Africa, for example, so Namibia exporters could suffer. They could suffer. That's why Namibia, a stable democracy with open market, according to our foreign minister, is using this summit, okay? According to our foreign minister, is using this summit to boost its own trade links and also push for a fair global trading system. So we're looking forward to that. So, but then we're gonna go into some of the topic that you will be expecting to be on the agenda on this upcoming summit, the Commonwealth Summit that's coming up on next week from the 18th to. From the 18th where is that information? From the 18th to the 20th of June 2025. So, well, stay tuned as we're going to look at some of those issues that will be on the agenda of this meeting of this Commonwealth Summit in Windhoek.
Omudiha utekirwa kaguna I matina omjo. Chikao shafasa na nana longe shifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongotisa mwene. Anange shifa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa oronjika. Seitha nina omayaguro ni randitoma yoe yonge shifa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tu imemeha ukakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimepo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma konarahe tatu imwe. Datu ndatu heari hamano tano oniyaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Well, for the first time, the flagship Commonwealth Business Summit, the CBS, and the Trade Ministers Meeting are held on African soil and in our capital, Windhoek, from the 18th to the 20th of June 2025. Well, what is the aim? The aim is really to tackle the global trade headwinds. So, you're welcome to come through. As I said, you're welcome to react to any of the stories that we covered this morning from Early Morning Scoop. You can, if there's anything that you want to react, also something from the Early Morning Scoop, you're most welcome to come through. So, and also our first item that we have covered so far. So please do come through. Our time is 08. Yeah. So our time is 40 minutes past the hour of 8, and the unpacking today goes up to 9:30. So make sure that you come through and air your opinion or your contribution. So, and now we're focusing on the Commonwealth Business Summit and Trade Minister meeting that will be held in Namibia. So we're looking at the press conference, at the press releases, which actually highlighted a number of things that will, you know, this summit will focus on. And so we just look at some of the concerns and how that actually relate to even to Africa and also to Namibia as well. So, what I want us to do, at any time you can come through, even if I'm going through this, anytime you can come through. I'm just kind of give you already, I'm just giving you, prepare you for next week. You know, what do you expect? Create an interest. I'm creating an interest for you to be able to know. Sometimes these things happen, and when we don't know exactly what is happening, we may not actually draw interest to it. So what I'm trying to do is now to really, because there are very important issues that are being discussed. Actually, so I would say, so I'm inclined to say that they kind of like look at the implementation plan. They kind of like look at that and copy and paste the SWAPO manifest, that these are issues. Or maybe they looked at that and said, okay, these are the issues that we're going to discuss in Namibia. We are in Namibia, so we're more looking at what Namibia actually doing. For example, supply chain and tariff. So that's another hot issue driving the summit, is supply chain. So the pandemic and conflict have shown how fragile the roots are. You know, so even today, shipping delays, port congestions, container shortage make good expensive. Okay? So those one supply chain, it's one of the hot topic, the hot issue on the summit agenda. For example, a shortage of semiconductor chip, okay, can drive, you know, can drive up. They can drive up electronic prices worldwide. Just a shortage of that. So the press release explicitly flags supply chain disruptions as a problem. And African importers have felt this. The African importer have actually felt this. Higher freight cost and unpredictable deliveries means higher prices for everything from cars to cell phone parts, you know. So that's why this is on the agenda. Tariffs are part of that story too. You know, while the tariffs have generally been falling under the trade deals, some countries have recently actually hiked them. So, for instance, the new U.S. tariff on the certain imports, metal, tech goods, and even African exports. So that threatened to hurt African producers. So, and in fact, a recent UN report noted that rising protectionist moves are headwind for 2025 trade. So at Windhoek Summit, ministers will talk about balancing trade policies so they don't backfire. So according to the press releases, they noted that what really slowed trade is not just the headline duty rates, but also all the odds, costs, and delays at borders. So the Commonwealth ministers point out that for many countries, it is the combined impact of tariffs and non-tariff barriers, the NTBs. So that pinches hardest, actually. So a tariff like a 10% import tax can be dwarfed by endless paperwork, safety inspections, and inconsistent standards. So, and that would then, you know, become an issue of price, you know. So just imagine, okay, an African farmer, you know, African farmer, let's talk about African farmer, maybe exporting beans, okay? I don't know why I took beans. So let's say it's exporting beans. Even if that tariff is low, so the tariff of beans is low, so a 1 week delay by customs or having to meet two set of packaging rules in different countries, that can already wipe out the profit. So now the summit will push for according to the release, press release, will push for regulatory alignment, harmonizing standards and digital trade facilitation, like e-certificate, for example, and single window custom, you know, as a practical fixes. So in short, cut the red tape and make paperwork digital to speed up trade. So that's basically it. You know, cut all that bureaucratic paperwork, and make paperwork digital to speed up the trade. So those are some of the topics that will be that will be covered. That is on the agenda. Talking of the digital, it's also the digital trade and infrastructure is the big piece of the solution puzzle, and is also on the agenda for the summit. Okay, that is also on the agenda of the summit. Nowadays, more business happen online, and from teleconferencing with clients to e-commerce marketplaces. So, very good morning to you. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Morning, how are you?
I'm fine, and yourself?
I'm good, Tate.
Yeah.
Brother Mike, I think I just came a little bit late.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to find out. You're saying there's a summit. Is it a Commonwealth?
Yeah, it's a Commonwealth's. It's basically, I think there are, how would I say, not really say department, but there are sections. This one is specifically on Commonwealth Business Summit, the CBS, and also the trade ministers meeting. So that will be actually then held to the next week, in Namibia from the 18th to the 20th. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, they want to discuss trade.
Yeah. There are a couple of issues that there are a couple of, aspects that they really want to discuss. Some are really close to our issues, like that are found in the SWAPO implementation, manifesto implementation plan. Yeah, so
okay. That's maybe it might be a very good idea,
but the other thing is that this is actually the first time this is actually being held on the African continent.
That's why I'm saying, that's where I'm going there.
Yeah.
Because, we have to take it with a pinch of salt, the Commonwealth, it have never been common.
Yeah.
This is my problem. I think many people have realized, I don't know, as Africans, we have joined a lot of, I'm not sure if it could be on social media, I would say we have joined a lot of groups.
Yeah.
Some of them, we don't even know the meaning. And no one regards us as partners. We are regarded as consumers.
Mm.
And that's the challenge we have. I have.
Yeah.
Yes. As a person, because the common, common should be equal.
Mm.
If we say common denominator is two, it's two to the whole digit which is on top. It's common denominator.
Yeah.
If it's 7 plus 7, common denominator is 3, so the 3 will be at the bottom. So it will apply to 7, it will apply to the next number, if it's 7 plus 8, it will be good for 7 and for 8.
Yeah.
Now, in this case of our common, the British, they determined, there's nothing common. When they want to buy things from us, they tell us how we should prepay. But when we want to buy anything from them, we buy it as it is.
Yeah.
Is it? So for them, everything is right. They are all always correct. And us, we have to be taught what to do. Because sometimes I look at this common thing, especially common on trade part.
Mm.
Certain trade, what do you call them? Committees, whatever you might call them, whether it's a groups.
Yeah.
They are the one who have slowed down the development and trade in Africa. Look, for example, we are still taught the red line.
Mm.
But when we travel in the whole country, all of us who live in Namibia, including those who come and live as tourists, when they go to the north, they eat the same meat. They eat that meat. Even a white man who is a farmer, even a Herero guy who is a farmer, even those who are from Mozambique region or whatever, or the north, who are farmers this side, when they go there, they eat the same meat. But there are some people who are telling us that meat is not healthy. You start asking yourself a question. Who is fooling who?
Yeah.
It's either one of us is not telling the truth.
But look at this naturally, in a very natural way. I understand what you're saying. But are we really equal partners?
No, we are not.
Yeah. So that's also something that we ourselves are not acknowledging. We are not acknowledging that.
We don't advocate for what is best for us.
Yeah.
Is it?
So
the other group, they come and they sell us what is best for them.
Mm.
But we don't sell what is best for us.
Yeah. Even whoever started this group, whoever started the whole Commonwealth, It's actually in the best interest of whoever started it. It's not, yes. Yeah, of course, it's there are some benefits. Yeah, there are some benefits that we can be able to do between ourselves within the group. But yeah. Eventually, you know, it's within the interest of the person of the country that have actually started this.
Remember, even these things of visas, it's just coming now today that people now, they are trying to realize, oh, but this note was, it wasn't equal. Remember in when the common whatever, all these groups started.
Yeah.
It was very easy for a British to travel in Africa.
Yeah.
It was so difficult for an African to go to London. Also, it was so difficult for an African person to travel in Africa with a common wealth idea.
Yeah.
Now, how do you become common? How common was there that wealth? That if it's difficult for an African to travel to another African country, but a person from London is easier. Secondly,
it's also us who make it difficult. It's not that because there's a law that actually is set by British, but it's ourselves as well that actually make it difficult for ourselves.
Look, our people, our leaders were threatened before. Let us be honest.
Mm.
They were threatened. And, you know, if you are threatened always when you go to the meeting, they regard you as less human. You understand? To the point that even if you go to the UN, when an African leader is speaking, the chamber is empty.
Yeah.
And that's what I've got a problem with our African leaders. When they should also do this, when they see it's Donald Trump or whoever is coming to speak, all Africans must leave.
Yeah.
They should go shopping. The same way Americans do, or the British do. When they are going to speak, Africans, when they speak, they go shopping. Let us all do the same.
But then, of course, I understand, but I understand your point in terms of like, okay, if we are equal, let accord each other respect, you know,
yes.
and be able to listen to each other. So, I don't want it in the other way around that when they speak, we go and do shopping.
We go out.
No,
yes.
What is the point of being here? Otherwise, it's also our tax money, our taxpayers' money being
then
wasted.
We don't need to go even.
We don't need that. We don't need to go. Yeah. Yeah. So, but in, I also want to look at this realistically and say, what is that really? You are not in the same power position to even to negotiate. You understand?
No,
But what I, unless you sort yourself, you have to go against a lot of things, you know? You have to go against the norm for you to be able to create that independence and that power that you have. We have it, but we kind of like, limited by, as you said earlier, by any conventions and group that we belong to, because we then have to abide by those rules.
By those rules,
yeah.
Yes.
Mm.
No, fully agree. But you see, also the other thing, maybe I'm not so sure, but it's good. It's a good idea. Let them come.
Yeah. No. Definitely.
As long as our idea is one of the top discussion, which is the Swap Manifesto, which is the current government idea, let's hope we push our idea.
Yeah. I think the other good thing is that, I mean, if it's taking place in Namibia, we probably, in every country that is actually part of Commonwealth, they will be talking about Namibia.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, so...
I think also Namibia should advocate more on Africa. Level.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Which I know that African countries are not so stingy. They talk about Africa as sisters and brothers.
Sometimes rhetoric, and they are not actually following it up with actions.
The problem, we don't act.
Yeah,
we
exactly.
Don't act. We don't act. But I think for now, it's a good idea.
Yeah.
Let the Swap Manifesto be part of the main topic.
Yeah.
Issue of point of discussion.
Yeah. Not actually, what I said is that the issues on the agendas is actually more, it's more like what we have in our, in SWAPO's, implementation manifesto.
But,
yeah.
But I think it's common to all. Look, I think everybody today, all of us, we are talking about free education, free everything. We want to avoid private.
Yeah.
That's why I remember sometime back I've said many times, I said, any person, even this colleagues, white colleagues, they should tell, somebody should convince me, before, during colonialism, was there any private something of that nature? How was those governments funding their programs? The governments were doing business. If minerals of Namibia by then, it belonged to South Africa, which was South African government, which was an apartheid government, which was doing business, and it was building schools. You know, they were giving us cramps, but we looked like we were given more, although what they were making is more than what they were giving.
Yeah.
And this, the problem which happened is, governments must start claiming, especially African government, must claim that they must do business the same way America is doing business. All these companies, this Greenco, whatever, all these whatever big companies which are in Africa, they belong to those governments. Who are we, ZTE? They belong to Chinese government.
Yeah.
We should also do business. In our own country, we cannot be told not to do business. Government must have at least two proper minds where they are generating income, revenue, to fund their program.
Yeah.
Yes.
So earlier on, the first story that I covered, it was actually remarks by Mo Ibrahim.
Yes.
Yeah. So what he says is that, take for example now, the top institution in Africa, which is the African Union, 70% of its budget, you know, is actually funded by European, American, and the Chinese.
Yes.
So now, who actually is in control, you know?
Now, look at it this way. And this way we fail. And when sometimes people use this word, they say, no, these are insults.
Yeah.
But sometimes we tend to forget that we always undermine ourselves.
Exactly, yeah.
Africa on its own, sits on more trillions, you get what I
mean?
Of wealth.
It's a powerhouse on its own as a continent. It's a really a powerhouse.
Without Europe, we can just close the doors and say, okay, for 2, 3, 4 years, let's close the doors of Africa. No one should do. We trade within ourselves, amongst ourselves as Africans. I can guarantee you they will be knocking left and right center. The Chinese will be begging.
Exactly.
The same Chinese will be kneeling down. If Xi Jinping cannot travel, he will travel that time. He will be the one who will be traveling around the whole Africa asking for help. Maybe the Russians might not come because they have got all what we have. And that's why I always love Russia. Because I always say, look, if Russia was supposed to colonize us, they have what we have.
Yeah.
Is it? So chances of them being so brutal to you are very slim.
Yeah.
They have what you have.
The European and American, what they need to develop their countries, it's actually from Africa. All the resources that they need, you know, it's from Africa. and the problem is that we don't realize that, you know, as an Africans. We realize it, I think we are at a level where our own resources become just something to help us survive. You know, not
actually,
built.
Actually, we are
not
even told how to use it. They will tell you, no, today you don't need to dig here.
Yeah.
Yes. This is for the future.
And they are clever. Wherever we have these resources, there is war. You know, they make fight among yourself so that they loot out. They loot out
everything. Because then there's no law of law.
Exactly.
There's no law of law. You get money. So you cannot do proper trading.
Exactly. You know.
Yes. So government will be in no control. You see, it's the way we are in Africa. I always give a look at it in the terms of our mothers. You know, our mothers are most powerful people on earth. But the way they have been portrayed and the way we have been trying to condition them to believe that they are they report to men.
Mm.
You get what? You see, you find the woman is beaten by the husband.
Yeah.
The husband thinking is clever. But the person who's going to prepare the food for that same husband who has beaten that woman is this woman who's beaten.
Yeah.
Now, this man who doesn't know that this woman can poison him.
Yeah.
You get what? But now, people don't understand how powerful they are. Yeah. And that's what where we are now. African Union must not be funded. African Union must do business. Governments of Africa must do business to support. The same way Gaddafi was doing it.
They must. This is the backbone of Africa. This is the institution that represents Africa. So it should be funded by 100% funded by Africa itself. You know.
But you are told that we don't have money.
Yeah.
Yet we are the ones with a lot of money.
Yeah. Whoever pays you controls you.
Yes. Yeah. Look at this. We are saying our African governments are failing. Even now, our white colleagues, they are the loudest to say this word.
Mm.
Let me tell you one thing. The majority who uses medical aid and all private things are Africans.
Yeah.
Black in color mostly. Let's say, whether you are colored, you might call you colored, but we are classified as Africans.
Yeah.
You know, we are not Europeans. We are Africans. These are the majority. 90% of each and every insurance, go to any insurance. The majority you find, 90% are Africans.
Mm.
If we take that same money and we say we are going to create an institution, which is a public institution to take care of insurance, and we put that money into that insurance, that is ours.
Yeah.
If we do the medical aid, the same thing I always tell people, look, at the end of the day, if your medical benefits are depleted, where do you end up? State institution, you get me?
Mm.
Public. They take, because now you don't have anything. They will even remove oxygen on your death day. They will remove it. They say, no, there's no money.
Yeah.
You can't buy life.
Mm.
You cannot afford this life. You get right. So if we would have taken that money and put it into our public, which we are known, we are going to use it, whether we like it or not, whether you are rich or poor, you use that one. Eh?
A country like that would be easy. Is for a country like Namibia, honestly.
Every African country, chief.
Yeah.
Because the money we are putting into these business people who are taking our money away would have been used for our own benefit.
Yeah.
Yes. Whether rich or poor, working or not working, you have access to the public facility.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think we have to drive as a youth. We are not, some of us are no longer youth, but as a youth, you know, we have to drive this sensitizations of our youth, you know, to think differently, to look at this issue differently, and push the agenda. Yes. Yeah,
the agenda. Yes, look at this. All SOEs, they are state owned. Eh? They make profit. Manpower. What I call them, mentioned by their names.
Yeah.
The portion they pay for medical aid, and which they don't use. If you go to that and you check how much do the people spend on that, it's minimum.
Mm.
You get what? But where does that money go? Somewhere. But if that money would have been put into the private, let's say, for example, let's look at the point of healthcare.
Yeah.
Which is critical. If we'd have taken that whole money, forget about what the people contribute, the employees.
Mm.
Let's look at what the employer contributes. The employer contributes something. So that, which, because it's a state owned, that must be directed to government to make sure, take care of the state institutions, which is state hospitals.
Yeah.
You see, upgrade them to the point that clinics must not longer be clinics. They are 24 hours in that location, whether it's Vanaheda, wherever, if it's in Katutra, we have got 5 or 10 of them in this direction. Eh? They are 24 hours. You will realize that even the population, the amount of people in the queues, they'll be less.
Mm. Yes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yes.
So if you have it opening 24 hours, because, and the thing is that you have nurses on the street. So why wouldn't you employ the people to work extra hours, you know?
Let me tell you one thing. Yeah. The good example I always give people is, in my case, as an individual, I pay medical aid from my side and the employer. Maybe the employer contributes maybe 5,000.
Yeah.
And I contribute maybe 7,000. My total is 12,000 per month. And if you look at this 12,000 with my family members, eh? We don't use it, I think, for the past 2, 3, 4 years. We have never used it.
Yeah.
You see, like to the maximum. Yes. So where did that money go? Because this was hard cash.
Yeah.
You see, this was hard cash. This is money. It's there in East Africa.
It's actually, that. Do you know that that's robbery, actually?
Yes. This money is there, but you are told, if you don't use it, it expires. How can money expire?
It should be investment, not expired, you know?
Yes.
Yeah, that if you don't use it, it's actually it's investment for you.
Yeah. Rather but remember, than you don't even carry it over.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. That's the thing.
Yeah. That money expires.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when we say these things, people who are so clever, they are telling us, no, it's not possible to fund what where will they get the money? The money is there.
Yeah, the whole year you haven't used a single penny, and
look at it. Look, go to all the young people of Gutmetka Edu are working today. They don't use that money. Those millions and millions and millions, they just go to South Africa and to these trustees and whatever, what the administrators, and they tell you, no, look at it. Medication is cheap.
Yeah.
Go to a clinic to med clinic or what is this?
Do you know that it's only that we lack discipline? You know, the amount of money that you actually pay to the medical, you are sold an idea. So to think that if I pay to the medicals, I would actually then have, when I'm sick or something like that, I would pay. But if you save that money yourself, you will have enough money actually to take care of your medication, of your medical.
Yes, because remember, when you are saving it, you are earning interest on it also.
Exactly. You know?
So if you look at, in my case, if I'm, let me talk by myself. If you look at it for 10 months and I'm paying 12,000, that's 120,000. So for 12 months, it will be plus or minus 140,000 for 3 years. And we took that money without spending and using it, put it in the trust or somewhere.
Yeah.
You, it will earn you profit, and you'll be using that profit to take care of your health care. And this is annually. You are putting it in every year.
Yeah.
For 10 years, how much?
But you are saying that, but you're not going to do it. Why?
No, because look, they have been sold us an idea that all of us, we are put in one basket. As long as you're an African, if you are given that money, you drink it.
Yeah.
You know, but all what I'm saying is, it's possible to find anything without going to IMF.
Yeah, no, definitely, yeah.
And the Medicare, if government is serious, they just need to assign, summon all state owned. Because we're not talking about private companies. We're talking about what belongs to you.
Yeah.
Where you have got full control, where government have got full control. Say, all state owned companies, please, we invest in here. We are going to invest. Because including our parents, look, I've got my Medicare aid, but my parents, my brothers, my sisters are not allowed to use that Medicare aid.
Yeah.
When they get sick. So still, when I've got my Medicare aid and they get sick, what do? I pay from my pocket. Including me on my Medicare aid, if my benefits are depleted, I stop using that and start paying cash. So what kind of services are those?
Yeah.
So, but the, what I'm saying is, it's easier to fund everything. And the moment we go for public, to be honest with you, a lot of people are going to be relieved.
Yeah.
Because when your parents, when your sister, when your cousin who is not on medical aid, who doesn't work, gets sick, it comes back to the family.
Yeah, definitely.
It comes back to the family. We should donate. Where do we donate? Where do we get the money from? You know? Yet, we still send the people to government. If you look at it also sometimes, the people have got medical aid. When we get the prescription from the doctors, our private doctors, we go to state and we ask the state doctors, no, can you change the prescription, write this medicine? And we get the same medicine to the same institution we are trying to insult. Yes.
Yeah.
We say, no, I think this medicine, you can get it in government. This one, you cannot get it here. You end up going to the same state which you are busy insulting.
Yeah.
That's the state. There's nothing functioning in the state. No.
All right.
But well.
Yeah.
We are wishing them well. That's okay. Let's push an African agenda.
Yeah, definitely.
This is our time. Yes. Like Ibrahim Traore is doing, like our leaders, And I liked what our president is doing, and what, you know, I like the confidence also of the president of Botswana, who said, I'm willing to achieve these things in 3 years.
Yeah.
It's a person who sets himself a goal. Is it getting my?
Yeah.
If I fail, come and tell me that you have failed.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know? Because they know there is money even here. That's what that man I've talked about. It's there. Government doesn't need to go to IMF. Money is within us.
We are too poor. We are too few to be poor, you know?
We have the money. Other people are taking our money to go and enjoy it.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Thanks a lot. No, thank you for coming through, yeah?
All the best.
All right. Yeah, this is an opportunity for us. It's a really, really an opportunity for us, as a country. When it comes to this summit, yeah, I think it's an exposure for a country like Namibia. So we should be able to grab that, with our whole, you know, arms and hands and legs and really make use of that, you know? Yeah. So, yeah. Our time is about 40 minutes past the hour of 9, as usual. We end the program at 9:30. So you still have some time to come through and have your comments, have your contribution to this. So as I said, I was going through, and you're most welcome to come through anytime. Don't be, taken off by what I'm doing at the moment. So, but you're most welcome to come through as well. So, yeah. And, we're gonna come back after this.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn.
June 7 Adventure Tours is offering an exclusive 20% discount for all local Namibians for the month of June and July. Get ready for an unforgettable quad biking and sandboarding adventure in the dunes. Parents, please bring the children to come and have fun on 20% discounted prices this coming June and July month. For more information, contact 081-624-9665.
All right, welcome back. Our time is about 15 minutes past the hour of 9. And we continue. So we still have about 15 minutes before we say bye-bye from the today's episode. So, but you're most welcome to come through. Our telephone number again, 083-366-091. 083-366-091. So you can either, as I said, any reaction or any contribution to any of our topic from the show this morning, from early morning scoop until now. So anything that you pick up and you want to actually have your opinion, you're most welcome. So do that. We still have some more, time to do that. So, and we continue. We're looking at, what is on the agenda of the Commonwealth, summit that would actually take place in Namibia. That's kicking off next week, in the capital, from the 18th to the 20th, of June. So digital trade is the big piece of the solution puzzles. So it is also on the agenda of the summit. And, you know, nowadays more business happen online, from, teleconferencing, with clients, to e-commerce marketplace. So the press release calls the digital enabled trade and highlights to the need for strong digital infrastructure. So, yeah. So now that crucial for Africa, I think that's very, very, very important for Africa. Today, only about 38% of Africans are connected to the internet. 38%. So sometimes when we are in a country like Namibia, we think almost everybody is connected, have a cell phone, it's connected to internet. When we talk about Africa as a whole, you know, only about 38 of Africans are connected to the internet. So far below the world average. So this huge digital divide means most African small businesses still struggle actually to reach global markets online. So, and yet the potential really is huge. You got a fam? Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Bom dia, família.
Ah, bom dia. Como está?
Epa, estamos bem, obrigado.
Estou fixe.
Outro dia, mas não, outro dia, mas não.
Ai, de volta, tá ainda, né? Grupo outro também, né? Tá louca.
Ah, eu falei, não, eu não. É. Esse vai estar um pouquinho, acho que ele foi.
Yeah, so how are you this morning?
I'm doing fine, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, all right. Mm.
You know, most of the people who are saying, no, this maybe is too old. The one facing here today.
Yeah. Yeah, don't judge the book by its cover, you know?
Yes, yes. Mm. But those who vote for them, they still quiet. They must come also give their contributions.
Yeah, yeah, it's
man,
true.
I was laughing when you talk to this guy, man. You know, he's saying like, we should have a death penalty, like, if you steal something, then they chop your arm off.
Yeah, no. Who was I talking to? Yes, was it yesterday or the day before yesterday?
Anonymous.
Is it anonymous? Yeah, no. I was talking to anonymous.
And I was thinking about the idea is good, but then you say no. Maybe then you will say no. The investigation will go on. They will say no. This is not the guy who do this. So we must say sorry to him. But give him 1 million. You know what will happen in our city? Men, they can even do something wrong. They know they'll get 1 million. So I'll just have a picture to say, we're going to have a lot of people in the city with one arm because they have money.
Yeah. Apparently, if you do it again, you chop off the other one again until, you know.
You know, when these ladies who ask for money, they see you have one arm. Yeah. They know you are in your neck. Yeah. Then you follow you.
But that's a Sharia law. That's a most Islamic law in some state, in Islamic state. Yeah. That's some of the laws that actually apply it. And I remember I have been, what country I went to? Mali, you know?
Yeah.
In Bamako, and we went outside, and when you see there are people who leave their car open, you know, your cars actually you leave it open, you know, during the night, you go to bed and your cars is actually just outside, and it was so like, you know, it was amazing and kind of thinking, seriously, you leave your cars open, nobody will steal it, you know, because if they steal it, you know, this is the law. Your hand will be cut off or whatever. So there were a number of laws that applies when you steal, you know. One if it works that way, so maybe it's a good thing to have something like that. It would deter people from doing that.
My brother, just think about a man can rape his mother because of money.
Exactly. Yeah.
Now, so all of them, they're gonna do wrong thing for them to cut their one arm. So just for this 1 million.
Yeah. So when you rape someone, I was asking someone. I did ask a doctor. I was asking if you castrate somebody, you know, would they die? He said no, they won't die. You know.
They'll be too fat.
Yeah, the best way, take out the feelings, take out those, you know, castrate them, you know?
Yeah. This guy would be like, you know, this South African, this guy would be big, like, you know, by 3, 4, 5 years time, you cannot even walk anymore. Because this guy doesn't have feeling anymore. So he's just free, so they both just blowing.
Yeah.
What about lazy people?
Yeah, as I said, we have we are signatories to many conventions, we won't be allowed to do that. You know, the world will be on top of you. Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
But the idea is good. Maybe they need more investigation, because I know African, these guys, they love money. They will even forget their other arm because of money. Then you're gonna have almost like in town, everybody's working with one arm because they have millions.
Yeah, he said I won't care as long as I'm a millionaire, you know. yeah. No good, man.
The African the other callers were saying about the African and pressing Traore.
Yeah.
But you also mentioned the Chinese there. I think Chinese are better. Chinese are better. We just need a good collaboration.
And so when you say Chinese are better, it's there is no a nation really.
Yeah.
There is no a country out there that that all they do is really thinking the well-being of other country.
Mm.
So whatever they do, it's within their interests. Even if it's sometime it could be very hidden, you know. You hear, you know, donation from China, you know, or something like that. The only thing that we're looking at is that it's because Chinese probably haven't colonized anybody. And when they come into the country, now they focus more building infrastructure. But even when they do this, it's not, it's, yes, when they put up infrastructures within your interest, but they're getting more than what you're probably giving.
You know what I'm thinking, man?
Yeah.
I think about the colonizing time. Chinese and Cuba and others, they never even try to sidelight with those colonizers. They always against it and defending us and give us what we need to have to defend ourselves.
Yeah.
And you never see them like fighting for Africa.
It was like the enemies of my enemy, the enemies of my enemies. What is that the saying? So we were actually fighting the same enemy. They were also colonized.
Yes.
Yeah.
But now I'm thinking about maybe if we maybe put a good communication there to see, because those who are here in Africa now, they are doing their own thing. They don't pay our people well.
Yeah.
They're trying to abuse the people. But if you go to the rally, to the system, why they are here, doesn't say what they are doing today. I think with a good communication, would be better, because I was thinking about this tariff which America put against China.
Yeah.
And China also reacted, and Trump went back to say, oh, sorry, guys, I think I was too harsh on you.
Yeah.
So now if you have a good communication, we do better, because my brother, think about 15 years back.
Yeah.
Just for you.
But you can only do that when you actually have the same power. You understand? For us, we don't. When you are given that tariff, you are shaking in your boot. How am I going to, you know, now to do my trade now? And, you know, you go begging. You understand? That's a difference.
Yes, yes. Mm. I think the same, you know, I was telling you about this boxer. He went first lose, the second lose. Why? Then we need to see that, because this guy is representing the country. It's like he's the president fighting the other president. So this guy need to come back home and see where we went wrong. Put money in that thing. Put money and get a good training so one day can also beat one of those guys and be popular in the Western media. They don't even wear the media.
Yeah.
Now, when it comes to this, our economics and these colonizers, look about Ben Traore. Who's now today protecting Traore? It's those guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. Otherwise, you could already hear no M23 is there. What you know?
But you know, there are enemies within as well. You know, there are those who actually, you know, support imperialist agendas. You know, as much as he's succeeding in what he's doing, because the nations actually approve what he does. So there are still, as he goes, he's a very, how would I say it? It's a walking target.
Mm-hmm.
You know, wherever he goes, it's a walking target. Yeah. So it's not simple as that. It's just that, you know, within, and this is not, they're not doing it, you know, sitting in America. They're doing it actually sitting in your own country.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So with your own people.
Yes, but I'm just thinking about when come to infrastructure, maybe to learn from others. I think I prefer the Chinese because if you, I tell him this is what I want, they'll follow what I want for my country. They'll follow it, and by 10 years time or 15 years time, you'll also gonna have your own engineer, your own inspector in agriculture, in all of those fields. You can have a good specialist on that field. But the other system, they won't even allow you for you to do as a partnership with them. They think that you are not important, but it's my country. I'm important. It's my country. Yeah. If you look at, I'll give one example. I saw even in our neighboring countries. Since 1975, the road, just to finish the road from Chicago to Lubango, my brother, every year, same thing, Portugal are there, Brazil is there, every year. But the Chinese, 2 years, just 2 years, the road of Angola was connected.
Yeah.
You see? So that's what we want. We want improvement. We want a communication which I win, you also have your share, but let me win more than you because it's my country.
Yeah.
It's my country. I think Chinese I think they are doing it well. That's why Americans are so confused when they think about Chinese. They are playing their role in smoothing way. Where are they? They you feel like the Chinese are here. Yeah. No, it's not like there's a war. There's a what? It's just quiet, peacefully. Yeah. And things are going on. It's only we need just to pull up a bit in our policy to say, guys, this is what I want for my country. I want my workers to be paid so.
Yeah.
I want them to have a good life in your hands. They will do it.
Yeah, no, it's really up to you. You decide that this is my resources. This is how I want it, This is what I want to benefit from this. And if you're not prepared to do what I want, they do that in their own countries. So we must be just strong enough and to dictate, our own benefits from our own resources.
Yes. And I think they can listen. If they could do so on theme of we are under these colonizers of the war and they are creating a gap for them to support us. No, they can do it unless Olimo Dikwa Malitokwe na Pesele
Mangiala. All right, man. Thank you for coming through, eh?
Thank you.
All right. Well, and actually that brings us to the end of our Unpacking the Day episode of this morning. So our time is about 30 minutes past the hour of 9. So there are things I think which I will cover also tomorrow. I would like to for us actually just to look at some of the things that are on the agenda of this summit. Look at it. And let's do that as well tomorrow. Let's cover, if we have time, cover some of those. What are those on the agenda of the Commonwealth Business Summit and Trade Ministers meeting that will take place next week in the capital. So thanks for joining them. So for joining us, this morning, for joining me this morning on Unpacking the Day. Do that again tomorrow. Let's do this again tomorrow at the same time here on Eagle FM. And I wish you good listening for the programs that are coming your way throughout the day. And enjoy your day and all the best for what is ahead of the day. So good morning. I'm Michael Chevelli.
Omudiha utekirwa kaguna ii matina omjo. Chikao shafasana nana longeshifa ya eshiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongotisa mwene. Anageshifa ya Namibia ompito ombwa na wa olonjika. Seitha nina omayakuro nirandithoma yoe yongeshifa yoe okupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uka kombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimwepo yomo programa detu. Moambo, dengera selma, konarahe tatu imu. Datu, heari hamano tano, oniaji. Eagle FM, the eye.